And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, flavor, stories from the land, interconnectedness, relationships, and life itself. We are your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And Sita Rani Brian.
The holidays are upon us. Wow, how did that happen? And we have a wonderful show today for you as we are looking at family dynamics and what we can do to make these holidays the best ever. Harmony, holiday, holiday harmony, balancing food, expectations, and relationships, all that and more today on An Organic Conversation.
You know, I've been doing radio for a long time. I wish I would have done this show 20 years ago.
Oh, 40.
It sounds like what a great topic that I think just about every one of us can relate to in one way or the other, right?
Or benefit from.
Yes. Or benefit from.
Yeah, I think everybody is either the type of person who looks forward to the holidays all year or they're the type of person who dreads the holidays all year.
Oh,
or
you can do both.
You can do both. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yes.
We're going to have to get into that one, but first, let's hear the green headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. The United Nations Climate Change Conference, COP17, will be held in Durban, South Africa from November 28th through December 9th this year. The discussions will bring together representatives from world governments, international organizations, and civil society in attempts to advance the implementation of environmental plans such as the Kyoto Protocol. Farmers and agricultural producers across the map have only now begun to realize the lasting and international effects of the pervasive drought in the southwestern U.S. Effects are being seen from Texas, where the governor has requested federal disaster relief, to Mexico, where tens of thousands of cattle have died from hunger due to lack of pasture. The drought will undoubtedly mean higher food prices over the next year as the industry struggles to recover, and it has been said that this is one of the worst droughts in Texas history. And Coca-Cola is launching a new campaign this holiday season to help conserve the habitat of its iconic polar bear mascots. The company, in conjunction with the World Wildlife Fund, has already donated $2 million and has set a goal of giving an additional million over the course of the campaign. Customers can contribute by purchasing special white cans of cola and texting the package code to 357357, which will contribute a dollar to the WWF. And those are the green headlines. Back to you, Helge.
Thanks, Jen. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Brian.
And we'll take a quick break, but stay tuned for a great interview about how to make these holidays and the family dynamics surrounding them the best ever with our first guest, Laura Shore, the author of The Swiss Cheese Theory of Life, How to Get Through Life's Holes Without Getting Stuck in Them, only here on An Organic Conversation.
Well, it started out down a dirty road, started out all alone, and the sun went down as it crossed the hill, and the town lit up, the world got still. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Coming down is the hardest thing. Well, the good old days.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Brian.
Today's show is about holidays, and more specifically, the dynamics of family, eating, expectations, gifts, and everything else that contributes to a lovely and beautiful and also often challenging time of the year. Most of us look forward to the holidays as we get to spend quality time with the family, and many of us, after the first couple of days, run into a yearly scenario of habits and patterns in our family dynamic that tests our patience, push our buttons, and make it yet another challenging holiday and a missed opportunity for harmony. Holiday harmony, balancing food, expectations, and relationships. Today's topic on An Organic Conversation, we're exploring what leads to discord or disharmony and what we can do to make this year's holiday one of the most joyous ever. With us now, calling in from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is Laura Shore, the author of The Swiss Cheese Theory of Life, how to get through life's holes without getting stuck in them. Laura, welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's so great to have you, and it's an hilarious title. When people see it, this Swiss cheese theory, it could be anything, but it's so poignant, how to avoid the holes or not get stuck in them. What is the book about exactly, and what made you write it? When was the idea for the book born?
Well, my co-author and myself, Judy Belmont, met at a mindfulness seminar. We're both psychotherapists and trainers and health and wellness consultants and speakers. And we just sat down together and came up with this title about the Swiss cheese theory of life, because Swiss cheese is unlike other cheeses. It's unique. It has holes in it. And our life is like that. We would love our life to be predictable and smooth like cream cheese and have everything go the way that we might plan. But really, the holes in the Swiss cheese are what makes the Swiss unique, just like our lives. It brings us character. And when we look at Swiss cheese, we also looked at the metaphor that sometimes only cheesemakers know, but it is true. The larger the holes, the sweeter the cheese. So sometimes adversity, challenges, obstacles, whatever we're facing, really allows us to be resilient and come through them with a stronger, healthier, more emotional, but yet an integrative approach to life.
And Laura, there's a story behind you writing it, right? The Swiss cheese theory of life, how to get through life's holes without getting stuck in them. You have a personal relationship, not just to the book, but to the inspiration and the story that finally made you decide to write something like it about the holidays and then the dynamic and what we can do, all of us, to maybe make this one the best ever. Can you share that story?
Absolutely. My personal story is that most of my family, I lost most of my family to the Holocaust, except for my mom and her father and my dad. And they actually hid out in the woods for 2.5 years and brought in women, children, and even the fighters to the woods, where they developed a way of actually living there with courage and with strength, and saved 1,200 other Jews in the forests of Belarus. So having that kind of upbringing, I always grew up with a sense of it's not what happens to you in life, but what do you do with it? And resiliency is something that's very dear and near to my heart. In 2008, there was a movie made about my family called Defiance with Daniel Craig, directed by Ed Zwick, and it really tells the story and shows how we all can get through things that we sometimes feel are impossible. Possibility thinking is huge, and we're not all necessarily brought up in families like that, but these are also skills we can learn. So therefore, the Swiss cheese theory of life really came about, instead of trying to be what you're not, be Swiss cheese, be unique to yourself, be true and authentic to yourself, but yet also realize that you have the power to move through situations which at times can seem overwhelming, but yet can also seem that it's an obstacle to be overcome.
Yes. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Bryan.
And with us, calling in from Pennsylvania, is Laura Shore, author of The Swiss Cheese Theory of Life, as we are looking at holiday dynamics and what we can do to make these holidays coming up the best and most joyous ever.
Laura, your strength and optimism is so apparent in your voice. I find it really amazing. I'm curious, all of this possibility thinking that you're talking about, how do you apply that during the holidays, which is such a challenging time for so many families, people who feel like things can't ever change, but you know, our family are the people, they're the people we're born into, the born to love, and what can you do to contribute to possibility thinking and positive experiences? What are your recommendations about that?
One of the things that I begin with is stop looking at what's wrong and start looking for what's right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good starting point.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, I feel like a lot of times people are, you know, not really honoring the moment. And I think if you try and, when you're having conversation with somebody, really think that this could be the most important conversation you're ever going to have in your life, or this is the only moment that you're supposed to be. If people are focusing on that, focusing on the good, then they're going to obviously have a much more positive experience.
Yeah, and Laura, I can tell you from a personal experience in my own life, when I started doing that, I actually created the opportunity for me to see within my family things that I'd completely missed all the years when I was looking at what was wrong.
It's, you know, it's kind of like looking around a room. If I said to everyone listening, look around and find what's blue in the room, you would be able to see what's blue in the room, but you might miss what's yellow and red and orange and green. So you have to look at how do you refocus, how do you reinvent what maybe are thoughts or perceptions from the past that don't necessarily serve you so well at this point. And I think that when we do that, we also become more authentic to ourselves. And one of the techniques that I use for people that's something that can be learned, like you just said, Mark, is wait, W-A-I-T. And that allows you to stop for a moment and think, wait stands for what am I thinking? And when you do that, it's not to judge yourself like, oh my God, what am I thinking? But it's more to just say, what am I thinking? Is it something that's going to enhance and help the situation? Or is it one of my negative, what I would even call audio cassette VHS tapes, you know, something from the past that's even outmoded? Take that record off and put the iPod or put in what it is now that you're using, your CD of positivity. So it's a way of really just getting that a mental picture. And when I work with children, I actually have them picture a stop sign. And the stop sign is almost a way for all of us who can be impulsive at times and say things that we then might feel like we wish we hadn't have said, is just stop and think for a moment. Is this something that will make things in the family dynamic healthy, or is it something that maybe I just want to be right about? Mm-hmm. And is it more important to be right, or is it more important to create harmony?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in addition to this, you know, stop looking for what's wrong and start looking for what's right and wait and think about what you're thinking, what else do you do to plan ahead or prepare for family weekends?
Well, there's many things that you can actually do to plan ahead and prepare for a weekend. One of the first things that I would suggest is to look backwards from the future. You know, to say to yourself, what would I like this weekend or this holiday to be like? How would this be great if what happened? For instance, maybe, you know, your grandma gripes a lot, but you brought her flowers with the card. Maybe your spouse is chronically cranky. You know, sometimes we all know that families can be trying at times, but to look at how you can be inspirational, sort of the grace under pressure. You know, if you were able to rise to that occasion, what would it look like? So envisioning or revisioning the future in terms of how you'd like it to be. So it's really working from the outside in, but also inside out in terms of then you move towards creating that or co-creating that.
Well, yeah, co-creating is a beautiful term, you know, in this quest for more harmony, which is, I'm sure, underlyingly shared by everyone, but doesn't manifest often in the presence of the other. How do you enroll other family members in your, you know, in your new kind of positivity attitude that you enter a weekend or holiday with? If you come to the family, you bring flowers, you look at what's working. Of course, your presence can change the dynamic already. The moment we change, everything else changes around us. But are there any ideas or tricks that you use or methods where you can actually actively enroll family members into your space?
Well, if they're coming to your home, let's just say, one of the things you might even do is just post a little sign up in the front that says accepted. Gratitude and optimism are welcome here. It's kind of a way when people walk in the door, they're already looking at things where you've shifted the energy. And so much of what we do is energy related. We have family members at times or people around us that we sort of feel like they're energy vampires. You know, when we're around them, we sort of feel like the energy is sucked out of us and we're depleted. So you might have those energy vampires along with your guests. But there's a wonderful poem by Rumi where I'm not going to read you the whole poem, but what he says is, be grateful for whoever comes, but because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. And he's really talking about welcoming whatever it might be momentarily, because it's a way of clearing you out for some new delight. So it could be a joy, it could be someone coming in with the meanness, it could be an unexpected turn of events. Welcome them all in, which is really part of being mindful. And I think that that's something that when you share that gift with others about being present, you might even say things like, you know, let's just change emotionally the channel if you see the family dynamics are going down a road that you don't want it to head. Let's, you know, pretend we're changing the channel just like we're receivers. What can we talk about that in some way really brings us closer together? It might be sharing a story. It might be laughter. It might be the joy of cooking together, whatever it is, but bringing people closer in to being involved so they're not necessarily focusing on what's not working, what's wrong.
Are you saying that you would actually suggest that out loud, or you are thinking that and you can change the channel yourself, bringing up another story or something positive, or are you saying we actually have the power to say, you know, I'm not sure if this is a good road that we are going down, because then it's in the room, right? Are you saying you would speak it out loud and suggest it and say, can we pick another topic?
Absolutely. I would suggest that, you know, without cutting someone off and making them feel like they're not being heard, you want to acknowledge, and one of the ways to do that is with assertive statements versus aggressive statements. It's not a, you shouldn't be talking about that kind of a thing. It's more an I or a we. We would really be doing ourselves a wonderful favor if maybe when we wrap this up and we just look at how we can change the station to bring in something that we want to see. You know, when people, even if you look at TV as an analogy, sometimes we get focused on a certain station that we necessarily supports our own viewpoint, but sometimes it's okay that we share other viewpoints. So accepting everyone in that way, but also what are the options in terms of how you can all work in a kind and compassionate and caring way?
Sure. Laura Shore with us, the author of The Swiss Cheese Theory of Life, How to Avoid Life's Holes and Not Get Stuck in Them, today on An Organic Conversation, as we're looking at holiday dynamics and what we can do to make these holidays that are upon us one of the most joyous ever. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Brian.
And, you know, Laura, a couple of things came to mind when you were talking there. A lot of times when I'm traveling on planes, I find that people will say, oh, the young people of today, they aren't doing anything, or they'll just make these statements to me, and I'll just often say, oh, well, what makes that so for you? Where does that come from? And then often that has people stop to think about what they're saying or what they believe, and that's changed conversations for me. And then other times I've said, oh, that's an interesting thought. You know, I've been reading a lot about these people in New York or these people in California who are doing this that are, and change it to that they're doing these positive things, which then again shifts the conversation without it ever being that I'm right or they're wrong or that type of thing.
I think that's a wonderful way of handling things, because you're being inclusive, and that's part of what families are. And with that also, if you're somehow, you know, none of us like to think we might be the ones that are bringing the negativity to the family event, but if we are, it's important to, if you've made a mistake or there's something that didn't go the way you wanted it to, admit it. You know, admit it, forgive yourself, don't turn it into a catastrophe, don't turn what anyone else is saying into a catastrophe. Put it in the proper perspective. A lot of times we think things, and thoughts are not necessarily facts. So even if someone's suggesting something, like you just said on the plane, all the young people of today are a certain way, maybe it's okay to say, I hear what you're saying. But, you know, you share your own story about somebody that's making a difference. So, you know, it's okay to really remind yourself or others emotionally that sometimes being right is a little bit overrated. So learning from that, what is the opportunity even in whatever someone is saying?
Laura, sure. Laura, stay with us. We'll take a quick break. But, yes, to hear more wisdom on how to make these holidays the best ever. We're looking at family dynamics. And then, Sita, I know you have a bunch to share in regard to food, because it's really family dynamic. It's food. It's gifts. It's, we can set the tone quite a bit if we are mindful to it and plan ahead, perhaps. All that on an organic conversation today. We'll take a quick break. Stay tuned for more.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? Got someone to blame.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites, available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Trace, the new signature restaurant at the W San Francisco, is committed to creating an enriching and thoughtful culinary experience. By fusing the vibrant local personality of the Bay Area with a dedication to socially responsible food, Trace ensures all the ingredients are traceable back to their natural origins, locally sourced and sustainable. For reservations, visit trace-sf.com, trace-sf.com, or call 415-817-7836.
Bowman College has been offering professional training in nutrition and the culinary arts since 1989. Natural chefs will learn to master a healthful approach to classic culinary techniques, while nutrition consultants become experts in client consultation and the promotion of individualized plans for optimal health. Bowman College, a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. To find out more, visit bowmancollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N college.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Brian.
And today's show is all about the holidays, more specifically the family dynamics, eating, gifts, expectations, everything else that contributes to a lovely and beautiful and also so often challenging time of the year. With us still from Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia, is Laura Shore, the author of The Swiss Cheese Theory of Life, how to get through life's holes without getting stuck in them, and how to engage in these holidays, perhaps with a little bit different attitude. Laura, you were sharing, looking at what's positive, which seems like such an easy, simple thing to do, and yet it has so much impact. It's amazing. You were saying if we all look at things that are blue in the room, we miss the things that are red. But if you look at what's not working, we can all often write pages and pages. And we could do so also by writing what's actually sweet and what's a memorable experience from previous years. In my personal experience, not expecting that things will be different than last year is huge, because I always look forward to going home, in this case to Germany. And the moment I stopped expecting it to be different, it actually opened up the opportunity to be different.
Wow.
Yeah. So thanks for your wisdom. In regards to behavior, food, mental, spiritual stimuli, what do you recommend for anyone to stay as healthy and strong as you can, to be kind of a change agent for your family?
Well, just to give you an analogy of actually Swiss cheese itself, it's interesting that the cows that actually produce 99% of the Swiss cheese in Switzerland are supposed to go outside for at least 20 days each month. It's actually the law, so that they can all seek their own food in a way, so being self-sufficient. So there's a state of holiday tension in sort of what we do. Sometimes we forget about the nourishment of things. Mm. And food is nourishing, and also emotions can be very nourishing, both on a way in terms of how we behave towards each other, we can nurture in each other, and also in terms of the way that we share, both with food and with our emotional nurturing. And also it's important to look at spiritually. What do the holidays represent for you? I think of it as there's an I in illness and a we in wellness. And, you know, Thoreau had a saying, never look back unless you are planning to go that way. So in a sense, we can look back to how the past holiday went, but if we wanted to go the same way, if it was a great experience, that might be wonderful. But if it's not, how can we look forward? And how can we plan ahead in that way? And so many people run around in a perpetual state of anxiety because they have what I call this sort of pre-existing anxiety condition. They assume that they will feel a certain way. And that assumption is really what
creates a lot of what they're feeling.
Yeah, you're building it yourself because you're so concerned about it leading up to it, and then you're embodying it when you get there.
You're waiting for it, actually.
Yeah,
you go
there to wait.
Oh, see, there it is.
And, yeah. Right, hello. Exactly.
I told you that would happen. I knew it.
Yeah, and it's not all that mindful, you know? I mean, because you're not actually being in the present. And I think it's important to experience whatever it is you're experiencing at that moment. Maybe it is really positive. Maybe it's really sad. But if you're experiencing it, then you're not hiding it, avoiding it, and then forcing yourself to deal with it later. And I liked what you said about how these times can be really nourishing, regardless of what manifests during that time. Somebody once said to me, you know, I mean, just like all families, there are always challenging dynamics during the holidays. But somebody said to me, they said, your family can get through anything. No matter what happens to you guys will always have each other's back. You will always be strong. And when they said that, it was like, you know, I've been living in this family for decades. And how did I not see that? And it was an outsider who said to me, no matter how hard things get, you guys will always be there for each other. And now when things are hard, I just remember that we're going to come out strong on the other side, too.
Mm. Yes.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, there's a saying that instead of keeping yourself warm by wrapping yourself in a blanket, get warm by building a fire so that others can benefit from the heat as well. So if you bring yourself in there and want to extend yourself in that way, it also creates a resilient family. There's something from what you were saying, Sita, that sounds like your family had a lot of resilience going in there. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it needs a breakdown or not. Mark, what's your experience of holidays?
Well, I remember one time when it was a Christmas, and I walked in, and it was the exact same thing that we'd all been experiencing as Christmas. We were all wearing the shoes that we'd grown up in, it seemed like, you know, and we couldn't get out of those attitudes. And so about 10 minutes in, I just stood up and told my family that I wasn't going to be part of this anymore if this is the way holidays were. And then I left, and that encouraged and that created the opening for all of us to get together and go to counseling and talk about it. And holidays became better. They didn't, not everybody changed, but it created the opportunity for everybody to at least hear each other.
Yes, the word crisis does hold the word opportunity. And you know, so often we have that little meltdown or we experience something like it and then nothing changes. So I think it's important if that happens to use it and to say afterwards, I don't want to have this again anymore. You are my family. Can we all agree to that this is not healthy? And then it's actually sweet often how the energy can change out of that, because really deep down, nobody wants it. Nobody wants the crisis or the meltdown, right?
Absolutely. When you use the word meltdown, one of the chapters in our book is the fondue can never turn back into a block of cheese. So you know, having that meltdown at times and staying in the guilt and regretful feelings. You know, there's productive regret and there's unproductive regret. Productive regret takes a situation that happened and you learn the lesson from it so that you can move forward and do things differently. It's an attitude of, instead of, well, yes, but, it's yes and. So that's the difference between productive and unproductive regret in a little capsule. And that also is, sometimes we also work with a lot of guilt when we talk about family events coming up and the holidays, and we might feel guilty about certain things. And guilt is really a useless emotion unless it's something that now you turn into something where it's different. So if you feel guilty about something you might have done, maybe you're freer with the compliments this time. If you're really the caretaker of everyone else, maybe you need to be the caretaker of yourself. It's about worshiping, maybe, instead of the God of other people's opinions and needlessly worrying and checking if you're okay or how are you doing. It's to just be the compassionate witness to yourself and
that's
let
beautiful.
That divinity come through you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the holiday season is really about. It's a closer connection to your family, to love, and to whatever the divine is to you and those around you.
That's beautiful, Laura. Well, this episode is about, you know, the holidays are a heavy time and what can we do to approach it with a little bit more lightness, you know, and light being two meanings there, like lightness as opposed to not being heavy, but lightness as opposed to what you're saying, which is a bit of divinity, you know, a bit of something that's really blessed and touched. So I'm curious to hear, how are you celebrating the holidays this year?
Well, I'm actually gathering around with my family for our Thanksgiving dinner. And, you know, families, what I realize is families are not always our biological families. They mm-hmm. can be, and then they can be those who we love, too, inviting in the heart, inviting in your friends. So I'll be with my biological family and my emotional, spiritual family, those who are close to me. And so to me, that's a wonderful way to actually spend the holidays, more so than what we're actually physically doing or what might we be preparing, which is important, too, because I do think there is something to be said about traditions and rituals. Although we might not want to wear those shoes, we might, you know, still want to taste some of that soul in there. So mm-hmm. what it is that's soulful in your family in a context of both what's a ritual and a tradition that still works for the family, doing those things too.
Yes, and bringing in a couple of loved ones, chosen family, spiritual family members, friends, does dispel the energy a little bit often. I've found it's actually a beautiful way of presenting. Everyone is kind of at their best behavior, at least to a certain extent of time.
It's true.
And then
that's another thing. Realize, honestly, it's time limited too. So whatever it is that you might be experiencing, that is the present, but it's also that's happening now, and you want to acknowledge that, but it's also time limited. And I think for most of us, you know, it's like being outside without a jacket and it's cold out for a little bit of time. You can sometimes even tolerate that freezing weather if that's what's going on. And then you warm up. So, you know, it's part of understanding that maybe you give all at that time, and it's not something that seems like it's you have to. It's more of a want to.
Yeah, which is very true. It's important that we recognize that family dynamics are a lot to hold. And if we are the ones going into the holidays with the ambition and the intention of changing them, you know, it's important that we don't set ourselves up for disappointment if it doesn't happen, and that we maintain our own equilibrium throughout, meaning, you know, literally take breaks if you feel after a long dinner and a long conversation and it's kind of the energy is, you know, sleepy, the sugar levels are dropping or extremely high. Go for a walk if you can, really having some physical space for a moment, taking a nap, allowing kind of the energy to be broken instead of and to flow instead of getting stuck. I think it's an important that has been very helpful and actually been great to let everyone ease up a little bit and do what they ever want to do, play with their gifts or, you know, go for a walk.
I agree with that. I think that one of the ways that it only takes a few moments, and if you need a little bit of time for yourself, one of the things that I would just suggest is maybe just either outside or someplace where you can just close your eyes, just be aware of any of the sounds or the smells and the sensations you're noticing. Place your hands over your heart. Take a few deep breaths. Relax the body. Try to release some of that tension, bringing yourself back to the breath, breathing deeply. Just even seeing your body, are the muscles tense, allowing yourself to move through your body and letting go of those kinds of things, and breathing in compassion and peacefulness, and visualizing a renewed sense of energy emanating from within you. And, you know, reminding yourself that the gift of life is really so special, and so are you. That's an important thing that some people don't even think about, especially if you're the person that may be having the holiday event at your house. Many times we get so overwhelmed about what we have to do. And in the book, we have three different characters. We have the stinky cheese, who says like things like, oh, I have so much on my plate. There's no way I can get it all done. This is all useless. And then we have the Swiss Wiz, who's like the wise old Swiss, who says, you know, don't pay attention to generalities. Look at what you can control by the choices you make. And if there's three things on your plate, do one at a time. If there's 148 things on your to-do list, do one of it at a time. And
yes.
Then we have the Swiss cheese fairy, who really is the nurturing person who says, just trust yourself. Instead of worrying about not doing it right, just do it your best, and that's good enough.
Yes. So, Laura, is there a sign-up sheet for your family holiday that if we're kind of a little bit, several hands go up here right now in the studio.
Well, do you take guests? You can go to my website, which is www.theswisscheesetheoryoflife.com. We have lots of helpful tips about that. And let me know how many are coming for dinner.
Yes. We will. That's lovely. Laura Shore, the author of The Swiss Cheese Theory of Life, and that's theswisscheesetheoryoflife.com, How to Get Through Life's Holes Without Getting Stuck in Them, about family dynamics that will, again, occur this holiday season, to make maybe these holidays one of the most joyous ever. Thank you so much. You joined us today from Pennsylvania. We wish you a blessed holiday season. Thanks for being part of the show today.
Oh, my pleasure, and I wish you all the same, and I wish you lots of love and joy for the holiday season.
Thanks, Laura. Thank you so much. Laura Shore, you're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helbig.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Bryan.
And wow, yes, lots of wisdom. I'm feel a little bit more prepared. I'm excited.
You're ready for that flight,
lighter.
Huh?
Yes. I'm leaving mid-December. Once a year, I try to make it over to Germany to see my folks. And I'm getting more excited as the years have passed every time. And it has gotten better. And, you know, we change, I change, they change a little bit. But it's really, as you said, Mark, however we approach it does change already the beginning. And with that, most of the holidays.
Just before we go to break, I really liked what you said, Helge, about, and that Laura brought up too, is that changing the expectations is, you know, not expecting your father to change because that's what you want, right? And not expecting your sister or your mom. It's like, it's being okay with that. They're so excited to see you that they're so excited to see you, you know?
And we may not have chosen them, but we did, you know, this is the family that we have, and we were conceived through them in one way or another. And this is what you got. So deal with it.
Yeah. And it's actually a good thing. It actually, it's actually creating who you are by the opportunity there.
Yes.
So that's great.
What
a
gift. It makes me think of what Wendy Stragar says, which is that relationships are to teach us how to love. You know, they're not necessarily to make us happy. They're to teach us how to love, which is what this life is about.
Yes. So. Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
We're almost up for another break, but Mark, we want to hear our weekly update, Mark Mulcahy, with What's in Season.
Well, what's in season? You have, you know, a while ago you finished having pumpkins on your doorstep, or you may still, or even on your table. They're very decorative. A lot of us carve them at the end of October. But here in November, pumpkins start taking on a new meaning as they either become decorations or they become what we think are going to become pies. Then the thought of actually making a pie comes in and you go, well, what do I do with this thing, right? Or how do I pick it out? Or what is a good pie? Well, if you're looking for a pie to either roast or to make into pumpkin pie, you want to look for a sugar pie pumpkin. They tend to be smaller, between 4 and 8 pounds or so, and they tend to have a denser flesh and a smoother texture and a higher sugar content. So that makes them really good for baking. Now, when you're looking at them, you want to make sure they're heavy, as I always say, when you're looking at fruit or vegetables, because that means they'll have a lot of water, moisture content. The pumpkin, outside pumpkin, can actually start to look dull, and it'll still be fine because they start to dull as they age. But the flesh should remain intact, and it shouldn't be wrinkly at all. And actually, pumpkins will get sweeter as they age. So that's something to remember. Never pick it up by the stem, because if the stem breaks off, that's an opportunity for bacteria to get in there and for it to break down. And so if you're going to hold it for a couple weeks, and also don't put it, you know, directly in the sun, because it'll break down faster. So when you do get it home, you want to, there are many varieties. There's the small 4 to 8 pound pie pumpkins, but there's also, you're seeing a lot these days, the white pumpkin. It's called a Lumina. Or there, you're seeing the Cinderella pumpkins or the fairy tale pumpkins. There's those beautifully shaped pumpkins that a lot of people just use as decoration. Use those. They're deep, rich orange inside. They taste fantastic. And if you're having trouble getting it open, you can score around the edge of it first with a smaller knife, and then that helps prepare your larger knife for actually making a cut into it. Or you can put it in the oven and just partially bake it, and that'll help your knife to get through it a lot easier too. And don't forget the seeds. Make sure you roast them, because they're great for you, and they are so tasty, and that can become an appetizer in itself. Lastly, about pumpkins, when you're picking them out, often we look at pumpkins and say, well, you know, I don't really need to buy an organic pumpkin. But I would recommend that you do, because pumpkins are great at cleaning up pollutants out of the soil. This process is called phytoremediation, and recently scientists in Canada found that pumpkins are actually really, really great at doing this. And so they take up things like pesticides and DDT and all sorts of toxins and actually store them in their flesh. And so you don't want to be eating that, obviously. So take a moment, pick out a nice fresh pumpkin. Don't be afraid to use it, because it's a wonderful squash, but buy it organic so you make sure you're not getting any of that added residues that could possibly be coming up from the soil. So, and that's what's in season.
Thank you, Mark. What a great update. Yes, pumpkins, wow, they function as sponges for environmental toxins. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Get them organic if you can. Today's show is about holidays, more specifically the family dynamics, gifts, eating, expectations, and we will dive into the eating part with our very own Chef Sita Rani Bryan, when we come back right after the break, what we can do to prepare well for the culinary part of the holidays. All that here on An Organic Conversation. Stay tuned.
Goes right through the soul, this old shoe, and the water on the ground ain't got no place else it's found. It's only got one thing left to do. Just creep on in. Creep on in.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at bowmancollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N college.org.
Trace, the new signature restaurant at the W San Francisco, is committed to creating an enriching and thoughtful culinary experience. By fusing the vibrant local personality of the Bay Area with a dedication to socially responsible food, Trace ensures all the ingredients are traceable back to their natural origins, locally sourced and sustainable. For reservations, visit trace-sf.com, T-R-A-C-E-S-F.com, or call 415-817-7836.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive, delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at UrbanRemedy.com. That's UrbanRemedy.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Bryan.
And today's show is about the holidays that are upon us. Holiday harmony, balancing food, expectations, and relationships. Today's topic, as we are exploring what leads to discord or disharmony and what we can do to make this year's holiday one of the most joyous ever. Before we dive into the world of what we can do on the culinary level, or right with it, here is Chef Sita, Sitarani Bryan, with your holistic bite.
Thanks, Helga. Well, we're talking about pumpkin. Oh my God. You know, I love so much that I'm always like, it's such a perfect time to talk about this. Well, that's what Mother Nature had in mind when she decided this is the season for pumpkin. So pumpkins are fantastically good for you. In addition to being fantastically delicious, they're rich in vitamins A and C, and also huge, great source of beta carotene, which is an amazing cancer protective. They're also a great source of fiber, which is good because it has natural sugar in it and it's going to help balance your blood sugar. And those natural sugars make pumpkin and other winter squashes naturally sweet. So using them in desserts is such an obvious thing, or using them in baked goods, whether you do maybe like a pumpkin chocolate chip loaf, something that is sweet but doesn't really require that you add a lot of sugar to it. It's really nice in the holidays, especially because we tend to be a little frantic anyway with other things going on. So balancing your blood sugar is really important. So when you are making pumpkin pie, for example, people are usually intimidated by getting into that pumpkin with all the ridges and how thick the rind is, and maybe you're not all that adept at wielding an 8-inch chef's knife. I can understand the concern. So maybe you might want to consider making your pumpkin pie, or any of your pumpkin dishes for that matter, with a different winter squash. It doesn't have to be pumpkin. You can call it pumpkin, but it doesn't have to be. You could use butternut squash or buttercup squash. You could use delicata or kabocha, which is fantastically deep orange, really rich flavor, gorgeous texture. And all of these really, they have a similar texture, similar flavor, but something that makes it taste like pumpkin pie or whatever pumpkin you're using has to do with the spices. So if you were to make a pumpkin pie with one of these squashes, as long as you include what are the quintessential spices for pumpkin pie, cinnamon, nutmeg, clove, allspice, I'll bet your guests wouldn't even know, and be a little bit easier to get into. So consider experimenting with some of these different squashes, you know, have a new fun culinary experience with one of these. And in addition to pumpkin pie, maybe you make a pumpkin sage penne with caramelized shallots and shiitake mushrooms this holiday season. I like this recipe because the sauce, which is that, you know, pumpkin or butternut squash or whatever squash you want to use with sage and nutmeg, and then you caramelize the shallots and they get really sweet and have a nice, that oniony flavor that's sweet and savory at the same time. And the shiitakes, which are nice and meaty, that sauce could be used as a dip in addition to topping it over your pasta. So you could serve it with flatbread or crackers as an appetizer during the holiday season. Or, like I said, you know, make this penne dish. Where you'll find the recipe on our website, inorganicconversation.com, or on Facebook, and just mix it up this holiday season. So that was your Holistic Bite.
Thank you, Sita, our very own Chef Sita. Yes, Mark.
Well, I just wanted to let our listeners know as well is that much of the pumpkin that you get in canned pumpkin is actually a winter squash, not always just pumpkin. They're, it's like a large Hubbard-type squash because they can grow more of them, they produce more of them, and it's got a really thick flesh that they can get a lot of flesh for the canned pumpkin out of.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wonderful. Yes, food. Many of us look forward to the holidays in large part because of the food. But we also get to spend quality time, hopefully quality time, with the family. And many of us at the same time, after the first couple of days, run into a yearly scenario of habits and patterns in our family dynamic that test our patience, push our buttons, and make it yet another challenging holiday, a missed opportunity for harmony. We heard from Laura Shore, the author of the Swiss Cheese Theory of Life. That website again is theswisscheesetheoryoflife.com. How to get through life's holes without getting stuck in them. Very helpful tips in our interview, as well as on her website, how to make these holidays the most joyous ever. Really simple from our expectations for the holidays, as well as how we can prepare mentally and physically. We want to look at food now. Sita, eating traditionally heavy foods may not contribute to staying light and easy during the holidays. It's kind of part of the tradition, of course, eating comfort foods heavy. It's the time of year. It's cold outside. What's the role of food in making a family weekend a great experience, and how can we honor that and yet keep it as light as possible?
Well, the food is essential. I mean, I can't think of any person who, if I ask them about the holidays, they're like, yeah, the food, I could take it or leave it. It's really just about, you know, the football and the hanging with the family. The food is, of course, important. And it's kind of like, you know, we had Wendy Stregar on recently and talking about the power that scent has over your memory. Well, scent and taste, they're intricately linked. It's the same thing. Your memory for all of these joyous holiday seasons, it's linked to the foods that you eat. So I think that having a healthy relationship with those foods is really important. But so often we don't, you know, because the circumstances during the holidays can sometimes get out of our control. We try and assert control over something during the holiday seasons, which is oftentimes overeating. Mm-hmm. So again, definitely it plays a big role, but you can determine whether or not it has a negative effect. You know, if you don't overeat, if you don't try and control or hide your emotions with food, if you actually, you know, want to have everything that's on the table, have a little bit of everything instead of taking a giant scoop of everything. Mark and I were talking about that beforehand. I, of course, can't wait for food during the holiday season, and I've been looking forward to it for 12 months. So I see all of this gorgeous bounty and I take massive scoops of it, and then I feel obligated to eat it, or I'm eating it because I don't want to engage in conversation with somebody.
Yeah, and then you don't finish your plate and your
right.
mom is disappointed.
Talk about expectations yeah. and obligations.
Yeah, it's actually good.
So,
small
so
amounts and then you can have four plates.
Yeah, it's so much better. I think that's difficult is that people feel obligated to eat everything that they take, and they feel like, you know, why... there's going to be more food later. You can have it for leftovers the next day, which is almost even better.
And
so
most of us have heard, well, I guess you don't like my cooking, right? Which is, of course, not true. But after the fourth plate, well, there's a, yeah.
Well,
factor of filling is coming in. Mark.
I actually love eating the appetizers. That's, and so often then that'd be full when I sat down to dinner, right?
Big
and
mistake.
And so what I've learned, actually listening to Sita just reminded me of this is I've learned that I get to eat all the appetizers, but I just eat a little teeny bit of each one. And then that way when I sit down, you know, then I've actually enjoyed every single thing there.
Well, I think that there are other things that people do pretty regularly during the holidays. Like they're so excited to eat all of that food that they won't eat all day. They're just trying to save up every bit of space. I kid you not. And actually that's dangerous because then you're throwing your blood sugar out of mm-hmm. balance. And then that mm-hmm. makes you more irritable. So, you know, you're going to have snacks around the yes. house, and you should eat small, frequent meals. And it's okay to save up some space for a really good holiday meal, but don't discount having good fats and good protein, whether it's cheese or nuts, and even have some chocolate, but balance it with some macronutrients so that your blood sugar is better balanced and you're better equipped to deal with the challenging potentially challenging dynamics during the holiday. Yes.
And so eating smaller amounts and also honoring what you, you know, what you're eating and having a little bit of each, like you're talking about, and having the protein. But as far as the whole dynamic of the meal and, you know, and planning, how important is it to plan ahead, you know, so that you're not really stressing out so much about the food and things like that?
Honestly, I couldn't stress it, the importance of it more. Whenever I do a catering gig, you can't just walk in and say like, oh yeah, well, let's get the onions going and then I'll chop the carrots. You have to have a plan. When you don't, you feel out of control. Mm-hmm. And the holidays, there are so many things going on. There are kids running around, you know, your parents are catching up, they haven't seen you in 6 months or whatever it is. When you have a plan, if you've taken the time in advance to come up with what needs to go into the oven when, who can help you dice the onions, those kinds of things are going to ensure more harmony. You know, you're just giving yourself a little bit more framework in something that really could be anybody's guess of how it's going to go. So I always make a big plan. I mean, I've got my framework for the holidays done, and I just reference it every year and make updates and enroll people in helping me out. It's a big collaborative time, so don't feel like you have to take all of it on yourself.
And I know you have some great helpful tips, five most helpful and five no-nos, which we will put on Facebook. We will be helping you, our listeners, to guide you through the holidays. So come back, visit facebook.com/anorganicconversation for all the recipes and all the tips and tricks during the holidays to keep your blood sugar, your equilibrium, your positivity in check. And make this one the best ever and share your stories.
And Helga, will you be able to provide us with any like German specialties that you guys...
Just as I do every year, Mark. Yes, you can manage your expectations and the expectations of the people you're with. Yes, I will. Yeah. Yes, we will do that. So any comments and questions, please send to share. Please share your experiences with us. We'd love to hear from you. Share at anorganicconversation.com. And again, your voice is critical and wonderful for us to hear about. Yes. Wow. What a great show. Beautiful.
And not to pat ourselves on the back, but I think it just has really great intention. This is a challenging time for a lot of people. And I think that what we want more than anything is to go into the holidays feeling joyous and capable of a lot of love and appreciation and gratitude. And so, you know, if the things that we're sharing help people experience that on a deeper level, then we've achieved what we've gone for.
Yeah, I really loved where Laura said, you know, the Thoreau quote of never look back unless you're planning to go that way, right? And this is all about moving forward and not creating expectations around something that...
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and what really stuck with me was looking in the room at what you can point out to be beautiful, right? Like, there's something, however challenging your relationship to your parents and family members might be, that you actually appreciate them. And if you look hard enough, it will change your relationship to them forever. Not just so using these holidays as a tool or as a time or as a moment or opportunity to actually from then on forever change perhaps the relationship, not just as a daunting time coming up. So yes, may these be the most joyous holidays ever. Blessings to all.
And once again, the show has flown by. Yes. But I want to make sure that we get to your organic moment. So,
and it's so fitting. It's about all of us. It's about there's only one world. I picked a Mary Oliver poem today, Mary Oliver in Blue Pastures. In the night, when the owl is less than exquisitely swift and perfect, the scream of the rabbit is terrible. But the scream of the owl, which is not of pain and hopelessness and the fear of being plucked out of the world, but of the sheer rollicking glory of the death bringer, is more terrible still. When I hear it resounding through the woods, and then the five black pellets of its song dropping like stones in the air, I know I'm standing at the edge of the mystery in which terror is naturally and abundantly part of life, even of the most becalmed, intelligent, sunny life, as, for example, my own. The world in which the owl is endlessly hungry and endlessly on the hunt is the world in which I live too. There's only one world.
That was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer is Kristen Ponger. Studio engineer is Jen Lloyd. Production assistants are Lauren Mukahi and Vanessa Farron.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, go to iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And Sita Rani Bryan.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye-bye now.
The point where I can be myself again. It's getting to the point where we have almost made